Now, Tom has already set up an email on Yahoo for any of you who live in the Fargo area and you want to help Sarah, maybe go see her. Just help her out, okay? I'm going to give you this email address. Here it goes. For Sarah, S-A-R-A-H-1, okay? For Sarah 1, just the number 1, for Sarah 1 at yahoo.com. And if you want to send your information along, Tom will be the go-between, and we'll just take it from there. And thank you for that. We're going to open up the lines again, including the whatever cards you were dealt with line. Hasn't anybody ever there been given $1 million? I want to hear those kind of cards. 818-817-0021. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Open lines. Let's go to the phones. Wild card line. Take it away.
Hi there. Good evening, George.
Yes, sir.
This is George in Toledo.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'd love to hear what you have to think about this, George. But, you know, I think the spirit of one of our founding fathers is reincarnated, as you'd say, in possibly Mr. Obama. Now, why? I think he speaks about, especially people in Pennsylvania, feeling bitter about things is right on the money. You know, he's speaking with an honesty that Americans haven't, you know, heard in a long time. And I believe that, you know, many Americans can find a lot to be bitter about. And that's something that I think even Thomas Jefferson would agree with, that that's part of being vigilant. Of our government and our current political climate, would you agree with it, George?
I would say that he's the closest. I like Ron Paul, but
too bad he won't be able to do much, though.
Exactly. I think Obama is the closest to being a human being of any candidates we've had in a long time. Seems to understand the pulse of people, not elitists. And, you know, even though he's well-educated, Harvard and everything else, he relates to the common folk. And I think he would do a good job.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of Americans are bitter, not in an unpatriotic way, but they're just bitter over seeing things going the wrong way. And I think that it's patriotic to express distaste when political policy, you know, runs amok.
Absolutely.
But, thank you, George.
All right, people are tired, and that's the bottom line. They're tired of government not thinking about them, but thinking about themselves and lining their own personal pockets. I mean, did you see today Vice President Dick Cheney released his income tax? Good, because he's done that. But the guy made over $2 million with his wife. Over $2 million. I mean, we need to elect people who relate to people. Well, that's all I'm going to say. It's not a political show, is it? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Where are you calling from?
Oh, Kansas.
Kansas.
Uh-huh. Wichita.
You're not in Kansas anymore.
Right. Every day. I'm just calling about your previous guest, Mr. Bray.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing genealogy for almost 26 years now, and you know, I didn't mind what he had to say about spiritual things. That didn't bother me. What bothered me the most was that people might get the wrong impression how to go about doing your genealogy. It's not like just popping up with a name and saying, oh, golly, I think that's my genealogy. I have to laugh because my husband does that in his genealogy. So, but I was just saying that they need to investigate and find courses, and I sure would have liked to talk to Mr. Bray about his sources that he had for some of the things he said, especially the Cherokee Indians. He said that one of them died, and he had the same wound in his back.
Right.
And
right.
I was wondering what his sources were for that, because I have done Indian genealogy. I don't specialize in that. But I'd sure like to know the source he had for that statement.
I tell you, one of the things you can do if you just do a search on your computer,
mm-hmm.
Just put in reincarnation and, birthmarks. You'll come up with several people who have done a lot of work on that. He mentioned a professor whose name escapes me right now, who's been doing work in that area as well.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to let people know that it isn't that difficult. You just need to take your time.
Well, you see, you're into genealogy, but not for past lives, right?
No, not for past lives. Just for straightforward sources on who you are and who your relatives were and any information that I can find about them that is actually truthful and factual.
What's the farthest back you've done an individual in terms of his lineage?
Well, on my own personal one, I've gotten back to, about 1540 back in England on my own personal genealogy.
That's
and,
cool.
I was able to go over there and do some work in their libraries. And you can also obtain the same information that I looked at in England at the... I'm nervous. Can you tell?
No, not at all. You're doing well.
At the Mormon library, they have an extensive, extensive library of information that you can gather from them, and they have the bishop's records at their place that you can order through your own church. I'm not a member of the church, but they open it up to anyone who wants to come and look free of charge, unless there's a charge for the film. But otherwise, you can go on and use their facilities.
Theoretically, could you? Are you able to go back? And I'm saying theoretically, back to the beginning of record keeping of individuals and families. I mean, even let's say they did it in the year 2, and they had good records and stuff. Could you technically go back that far?
The year 2.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying theoretically.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you. No, I can't imagine doing that. You can only go back as far as there's good records, and pretty soon people didn't know how to read or write. I mean, that's not possible.
Okay, so you get stuck in a form of genealogy where you can go, like in your case, you've gone back to the 1500s.
Uh-huh.
But in reality, don't you think your family lineage goes all the way back to Adam and Eve?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does. I couldn't possibly be here if it didn't. And lucky me, nobody got killed or kicked off or died or whatever. I mean, the great plague in England, I was very lucky that my ancestor made it through that and didn't die.
Well, that would have cut off the line, right?
It sure would have, and I wouldn't be here talking to you tonight. But I just wanted to impress upon people to go to their public library. Don't believe everything's on the Internet. For gosh sakes, people just always are telling me they found this on the Internet. And I like to tell the story about how I find I was married to my grandfather on the Internet. And luckily, I got the gentleman to take it off. He was kind enough to do that. A lot of people aren't. So just,
no,
you know.
No, we're not.
Don't believe everything you read or hear or anything, and always get at least a couple sources, good hard sources. You know, tombstones are drilled and made by people who didn't know a thing about the person sometimes, and they put down whatever they want. So, you know, you just have to be careful and make sure you get to the right line.
Okay.
And that was what I was basically trying to tell people, so... That's my story. I'm going to stick to it.
Thank you, Miss Genealogist. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Right.
Take care. Yeah, I had a friend who used to do genealogy, too, and he got really into it. And then he went out and got a computer software program, and he got back to the 1600s in England. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello, George. How are you tonight?
Good, sir. Hi.
Okay, I just have a quick comment and a quick question.
Sure.
I heard you talking about hockey earlier, that Detroit is going to win the Cup. And go, well, it's impossible for Detroit to win. That's because the New York Rangers are definitely going to take it. So. we ain't going to worry about that.
Oh, man.
Anybody else.
There was a time those Red Wings were hot.
Yeah, they got a lot of firepower. They're definitely a big threat. There's no doubt about that. But hopefully our... talent, you know, we got a lot of older players, and we'll probably get past them. But my question is, back in the late 60s and 70s, there used to be a show that was after the Twilight Zone, used to be called Chiller Theater. When a hand used to come out of the ground, used to have six fingers.
Yep.
Used to grab the letters. Now, who created that? And they don't play it no more. I haven't seen it since the 70s. Who created that and who's produced it and all that good stuff?
I'll get the information and I'll put it on for us.
Okay.
I'll get it during the break. And let me ask you something. Do you know the names of the six original hockey teams?
I'm almost there. You got New York Rangers. You
all
got
right.
Montreal Canadiens.
All right.
You got Detroit.
Three. You have three more.
You got the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
And then you got Boston Bruins.
The Boston Bruins. There's one more.
And I believe it's got to be Rangers.
Chicago Blackhawks.
Chicago. That was close.
Yep.
That was close.
I mean, did you watch hockey when you were a kid?
Yeah, I always was a Ranger fan. Been a Ranger fan for about almost 28 years now.
Did you get up in your neck of the woods hockey night in Canada like I did in Detroit?
I believe so. That was in the early 80s. We had that.
It went even farther back. It was down in the 70s, maybe even the late 60s. But I will always remember playing for Toronto, a player by the name of Eddie Shack.
Yeah.
This guy, I'm not sure he ever scored a goal, but they could never take the puck away from him. He would skate up and down, and he was just dramatic to look at. Absolutely dramatic. Let's go to the first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm calling from Huntley, Illinois.
Hi.
Hi. I got one of those dealt bad card in life stories for you.
What happened?
I'm sorry, I didn't win $1 million for you, but the opposite of Sarah kind of happened to me. So, not really a physical problem, but more into the brain. I was diagnosed with a form of autism around 11 years old.
Okay.
It's known as Asperger's syndrome, and it's pretty much played a bad card in my life. Not a hand of seven, but it's one bad card.
Does it ever go away?
Or no, you can kind of cure it, but it's going to stick here forever. There's really no cure for it, and from my eyes, there's really nobody who wants to do jack about it. You know, there's small organizations, but nobody really wants to fund anything.
Do you think stem cells would one day take care of that problem?
You know, it could possibly do it. Could possibly do it, though I really wouldn't count on that.
How did this affect you when you were a kid?
Well, when I was a kid, that's kind of a debatable subject. You know, I was kind of an off the wall kid. You know, my parents really had a hard time dealing with me. Schools had a hard time finding these solutions for what I need. Eventually, I was placed in special ed, and then I really was doing great in school. Eventually, I was placed in a school for autistic students, and then that's when I learned, you know, I have a mild, really mild case of it, and that's when I learned, oh, this could be much worse, you know.
That's right.
This could really be much worse. But
you sound like you're doing okay now, are you?
I do okay because Asperger's is really a case where you really have a strong point in one area of interest. Like, mine is computers. Even right now, I'm sitting in the SorceryNet channel coast to coast.
And I bet you are good at computers.
I am. So that's what I'm going to go off to college for. My goal in college is to relate computers with autism and mental disabilities. Try to relate those two and make software for them.
Good for you. You know, you may end up making that $1 million, but even if you don't, you might have helped one person, and it'll be worth it. Go for it. Good luck for you. Chiller Theater. Late night horror and science fiction movie program. that was out there in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, airing from 63 to 83, hosted by Bill Cardell, known to the fans as Chili Billy. It was a Saturday night tradition for two generations of folks from Pittsburgh. I've got a few minutes to go. Hey, Tommy, I want you to run into the studio if you could. I have a little picture of Tom. He's going to run into the studio. We're going to try to give away 6 books here. There he goes. I see him on camera right now. Technology is absolutely incredible. And when he's there and ready to go, Danny, just tell me in my ear, and we're going to do this because I will take this call east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. I appreciate it. Long-time listener here. I wanted to call and say, with regards to chronic illness, I've had 2 chronic illnesses for like probably 20 years now. I have chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. I also have 2 bulging discs in my back.
Oh, my.
I have, yes, but at the same time, I take a very proactive approach to it. Science indicates that depression is actually repressed anger or frustration. And what you do instead of wallowing in the self-pity or the feeling bad about your circumstances is to convert that into, you funnel the emotion, the anger, into being active and in finding solutions to a situation. Both of my illnesses are considered orphan illnesses. They are not researched well. They don't have meds that work well. They don't know what causes them, stuff like that, you know? And so it's up to me to find my own way here.
Is it easy or hard for you to do that?
It can be easy if you have a computer. And I have utilized using a computer and my own wherewithal using natural medicine to find good ways to deal with my pain.
Is it working?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Good, I
function very, very well. I used to run a CFS support group, and most of the other CFSers said, you don't even have this illness because you know, I'm not all gimped up and laying around.
Hey, do you want to try to win 6 books right now?
Sure.
Here we go. Tommy is coming on, and he's going to give you the line. You need to tell me the name of the movie that this line's from. You ready?
Line from A Name of a Movie. Okay.
Yep. Here we go. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. It goes like this. I'm a fan of man.
Now, if you can tell me the name of that movie, you get 6 books.
I have no idea.
Darn.
I'm sorry. I am lost in space on that.
Okay, well, next time we do it, whenever we may do it, it'll be up to 7 books. And I'm going to keep adding a book until we get a winner. I'm getting hundreds of people who send me emails and fast blasts every Friday. They've got the answer. But I can't find anyone who calls in who knows this. Okay, put the books away, and we'll add one more. We'll be back. Hey, it's shout-out time. First of all, I want to say hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America, 500-plus strong now. Those of you who are StreamLink members, hello to you. Hope you continue to support Coast to Coast AM the way you do, and I promise that we will continue to give you more novel features as well, XM Satellite, Channel 165. And then the various chat rooms all over the place. NighthawkZone.com, folks. Hello to you, my friends. And also, by the way, on page 6, if you go to NighthawkZone.com, under Live Zone, they have categories there. You click that. At page 6, they've got the name of the movie where we had that line that Tommy just said, I'm a fan of man. So those of you who may get lucky enough next week to get on, you'll have the answer. It's right there for you. Just go find it. Imaginative Worlds, Sorcery IRC, Pal Talk, the MySpace groups, Into Infinity, Frog Forum, the National Radio Club, and on and on and on. Thank you for listening to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go right to the phones. First-time caller line, where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm in Arkansas right now. I'm in my semi-truck.
Okay. There you are. You made it. Go ahead.
There you go. Well, I've got a really great story. And first of all, I'd like to say I feel for that young lady in North Dakota. My dad had diabetes.
Thank you. We're getting a lot of responses, so hopefully we'll get her some help up there.
Well, here's my story, George, and I've been listening to you and Art Bell long, long time. Long, long time. It keep me up late at night driving down these highways. Well, I'm a musician. I'm also a songwriter. And I did a show in Nashville in October of 2006.
Okay.
And out of that show, I had three record deals come my way. And I signed with an independent label last year. And right now we're in the process of finishing up an album.
Good for you.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It's an awesome experience. I've waited all my life. I've been writing since I was 17. I'm 56 years old now. And, man, I would love to have all my coast-to-coast friends and family just hit my website, let me know what they think about my songs, if that's possible.
Is the website up and running?
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, give it out.
It's www.myspace.com/, and then type in Shadow Mountain Express. No caps.
And
all one word.
When you get done with the album, why don't you get it to us in Los Angeles, and I'll have Dan and Tom listen to it, and if there's any one there that I could use for a one-time bumper song, I'll do that for you.
Well, I'll tell you, George, I'm doing House of the Rising Sun done such
I love
a
that song.
Way. It's not done that real slow, you know, finger-picking. This song is moving.
Okay. You're driving, so you can't pull out.
I'm on an off ramp here. I'm stopped.
Well, why don't you? You don't have. You play the guitar, I take it, right?
I play 12 string. I play bass.
You don't have it sitting there in the seat right next to you, do you?
Oh no, I don't. No, I wish I did. But if you check out my website or have Tom check my website out, I'm telling you, it's some good music. The top three songs on my website, the studios are trying to pick which one should go as a single. I would love to get comments from all the family here on Coast to Coast.
Okay, that's right. So why aren't you on American Idol?
I'm I'm 56 years old. I didn't expect to get a record contract.
You know what? You may be. I've never seen anyone who's 56 years old on American Idol yet.
No, you won't neither. That's almost impossible.
They like those younger demos, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. But you know what? Sounds like you're doing okay on your own.
Oh yeah. Well, I did the show to show what I had as far as music. I was planning on selling my music. You know, Faith Hill was lined up to do one of my songs, and since I signed this record deal, that went down the drain.
are you a better songwriter or performer?
Well, what I've been told by three different studios in Nashville, they haven't had a songwriter come their way in a long time that write like I do.
Okay, well, good luck to you. We'll check it out, and when you're ready to roll, we'll play one of your songs as a bumper once the guys listen to it, okay?
I will send you two copies of my album, George, one for you and one for Art.
All right, you got a deal.
Okay, buddy.
Okay, good luck to you. That's the thing. Hey, it's probably time to have another American success story on, by the way. We had David Orrick on, the inventor of the Orrick vacuum cleaner, some time ago, and we had Ron Rice from Hawaiian Tropic on. He's the one who concocted the suntan lotion in a garbage can. And he still has the garbage can in his house in Florida. He'll never forget it. And wonderful people too, by the way, because they grew up with nothing and did it themselves. And that's what I like. Those are American success stories. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello?
Are you there? Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, George. I'm just recently started listening to y'all's show and really enjoy it much. The reason I was calling was back a little while ago, you had a guy on talking about past lives.
Yeah.
And there was a question that didn't really get answered in talking about how people on Earth have past lives, but how does he explain the number of growth of population, you know, where are the souls coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of occurred to me that it must be like an endless soul bank out there. And so when, you know, it maybe not, maybe on another planet you were born and then you are born onto this life. So your past life may not necessarily have been on Earth.
No, I agree with you. I think there's a bank of souls way beyond the number of people. Yeah, absolutely. Because if you believe that there are other beings in this universe, for example, you know, we could be talking about billions and billions and billions of souls.
Yeah, I would think so. An infinite amount of souls. And new ones being created.
I'd love to go to the Soul Factory. That would be neat to watch. Let's go next to the Cards That You Were Dealt line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hi, this is Rebecca. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
I thought you were going to say from Sunnybrook Farms.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Ooh. Give me a drum beat on that.
Okay. Let me just say real quick that I only discovered this show about a year ago, and, oh, man, it's totally changed my life. So thanks.
How did you find us?
Actually, a coworker. I have a little bit of psychic ability, so I happened to mention at work one day that I'd seen a ghost, and my coworker's like, oh, no way. So we started talking. He's like, you got to listen to this radio show, and then next thing you know.
here you are. Well, welcome aboard.
Woo-hoo, thank you. Anyway, I wanted to tell you, you know, you were saying a little bit earlier how you want to hear, like, a good millionaire story. Well, unfortunately, I don't have the millionaire story. I've got the bad deck of cards, but my sister has the good deck of cards. And so I just kind of wanted to share with you kind of some examples of this. Okay, well, first of all, we grew up in a very, like, physically and mentally abusive family. So, you know, our dad would pretty much beat us up all the time. So I was always getting hit and beat up and thrown around, and she basically hardly ever got hit or anything.
Okay. Was he drunk when he did that?
Believe it or not, no. We hardly had any alcohol in our house at all. He was just nuts. He was just crazy. He's dead now, so that's okay. But anyway, and then, like, for example, he was also a gambler, so he ended up gambling away my college fund. So, you know, I only got to go to college with, like, $100 in my pocket, but my sister got her college fund. He didn't gamble away her college fund. You know, when she got married to this perfect guy that basically, here's the story, ended up being a millionaire in his job, so my sister and her husband now have, like, literally millions of dollars.
She hit a home run with him, huh?
Yeah, for sure. But when I got married, I ended up
But you know what? He probably hit a home run with her, too.
Well, not so much, because...
Sister. All right.
Yeah, see, my husband, though, was, like, abusive and actually caused me a spinal injury that now makes me be in pain 24/7, you know, for the past 20 years.
Did you pick him out because of your childhood?
Well, I didn't know at the time. He actually, you know, turned abusive after we got married, so.
You didn't see any symptoms when you were dating him?
Well, when I looked back, yeah, I did. But,
yeah, you did.
He never hurt me. He was a drug addict, and I didn't know, even though now I know what the symptoms were, but, you know. It's the kind of thing where, you know, at her job, she's always gotten promotions and, you know, like thousands of dollars in bonuses year after year. And with my jobs, I'm always like being laid off or, you know, falsely accused of something. I mean, and that's kind of been a story too, is that I'm always like falsely accused of things. I've been accused of like kidnapping children.
What?
Very briefly, I was a suspect. I wasn't ever arrested, okay? But
you were a suspect. Yeah, but why would they even accuse you or even think of that?
Because, one afternoon, these two little kids, like 4 and 5 years old, came to my door, asked to use my bathroom, and I'm like, no, go home, you know? And they're like,
Did you know who the kids were?
No, I'd never seen them before. So I let them in, they use the bathroom, I send them out, they go on the way, and like an hour later, the police come, and they're like, these kids are missing, and they were last seen in your apartment. So, you know, they, like, checked everything out and whatnot.
Did they believe your story?
Well, they said, you know, don't leave town until we get back to you kind of thing. But then they found the kids about 6 hours later. And they
were okay? The kids were okay?
Okay. All right. But then I even got, like, falsely accused of beating up a coworker, and then I also got falsely accused.
Hold on. How do you get falsely accused of beating somebody up? You either popped them or you didn't.
Well, exactly. I know. So I'm getting ready for work one day. There's a knock on my door. It's the sheriff. And he hands me a piece of paper, and it's a temporary restraining order. And I'm like, excuse me? And he's like, so I read it. Yeah. And this crazy coworker I had at the time, she had accused me of beating her up and had gotten lied to the courts. I hadn't even touched her. I didn't even know where she lived, you know? Anyway, got a temporary restraining order and had to go through the whole court thing. It finally got dismissed. But once she realized it got dismissed, then she went to her company and said that I tried to kill her in the parking lot that morning.
What did she have in for you?
Well, she... Okay.
Come on, you're not telling me everything.
It all started with a Halloween party, believe it or not.
Were you in costume?
No. Each department where we were working, you know, was going to be competing in a pumpkin carving contest, okay? And this was right in 2001, right after 9/11, so I said we should go with a patriotic theme.
Okay.
And she thought that was really stupid. And so, like, all day long, she was just, like, insulting me, calling me names and whatnot. So I went to our boss to complain about it. And just because of that...
She was calling you names because you didn't like your pumpkin idea?
Exactly. That I went to do a patriotic thing for our pumpkin.
like maybe a flag or something like that?
Yeah, and I'll have you know it also won first place. Thank you very much. But anyway...
Okay, so she's verbally harassing you all day.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I complained to the boss about it, and because of that, it was like about a week later, knock on the door, sheriff. I mean, this girl was nuts.
Oh, that's the restraining order time.
Yeah. And then when that didn't work, then she goes to, what happened next was, so that didn't work, so I'm at work. And then next thing I know is I'm being called into a conference room with a couple of police officers, and they're like, we got a report that you just tried to kill her this morning by knife to her.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, excuse me? You know, it was unbelievable. Luckily, the police, you know, didn't believe her.
So what happened to this lady who has created a living nightmare for you?
I know. Well,
did she get fired? What happened to her?
She did eventually get fired. I got fired first, believe it or not.
Because of all these allegations?
Yeah, they basically said, you two can't work together. One of you's got to go. So they let me go.
Oh, that was nice. They let you go instead of her.
Well, I think actually she might have been having an affair with the boss, but that's
Oh, that probably helped, didn't it?
But anyway, though, so I've been through, like, the ringer, as you can imagine. Every boyfriend I've had has cheated on me, literally, or stolen money from me. Every friend I've had has literally betrayed me. The rest of my family, we basically disowned each other because they also falsely accused me of things and whatnot. Like my sister was telling you.
Well, now let me ask you this for a second. You got all these people out there, and they're all accusing you of all these heinous things.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, are you really like that not guilty?
I swear to God, you know. And what the saddest thing is I'm like the most law-abiding person you could ever meet. I like pay my bills on time.
Well, then you've got the biggest black cloud over your head than almost anybody I've ever heard.
Kidding. I know. I don't even drink. I don't do any drugs, you know.
So how do you get rid of this black cloud? What are you doing to just get rid of it?
Well, I'll tell you, see, this is actually comes back to how your show has changed my life, because I was through the whole depression thing, and why is this happening to me? Why me? Why me? You know, I've even been like suicidal at times myself too. But what your show has taught me is that actually all this stuff is actually good, and here's why. Because I believe in reincarnation, and I believe that, you know, the whole purpose of being here on Earth is to learn the lessons we have to learn so that when we get to the other side, we can be enlightened, you know?
That's true.
And the only way you can learn this stuff is through adversity, because if you're given everything good all the time, then you're not going to care about spiritual things. You're going to be, you know, in the material world. And, boy, this stuff has really made me have to question why, you know?
Well, it sounds like you're on your way, and you keep going. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hello there.
You made me drop my nail polish.
Oh, great. What color was it?
It's gold speckled.
And is it spilled all over the place?
Just on my nightgown.
Oh.
That's okay. Right. Now I shine in the dark. I have this story, a genealogy story for you.
A genealogy story?
Yeah, I'm the palm reader. That's why I'm putting the gold speckles on my fingers.
Oh, okay.
So I'm working this little town up in southern Idaho, just kind of on the border of Utah. And it was 4th of July, and I had my little booth set up there. And got to be late. You know, everybody done the parade and everything, stayed all night. It was about midnight, and we're still out in the park. And they're all lined up, waiting to have their little hands read. And this old lady is there, who's a historian. She'd come up from Utah. She'd written a book about the outhouses of that town.
The outhouse? Somebody wrote a book about outhouses?
You know what an outhouse is. Outhouse is.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if young kids know what an outhouse is.
Outhouses, to you young folks who don't know what it is, it's an outside toilet that they used to have because they just didn't have plumbing.
And just a couple of little holes in it. And
that's
so
right.
And finally they
there was always somebody down in that hole looking up.
They
did you know that?
Up to where they had a cement outhouse. So about midnight, we're all sitting around up there and... Of course, I'm working away, you know, and she decided she needs to go up to the cemetery that was up the hill about a mile and a half to do a little genealogy and research, you know, see who had died and what years they had died and see if she could find some family members. So she conned one of the boys, teenage boys, into driving up in his pickup truck. Well, they go over to get in the truck, and some of the guys there that are a little, you know, in their 30s or 20s, they just said, let's get up there, and we'll give them a surprise. So pretty soon, the guys come running down the hill about a half an hour later, and they said, we laid down by the graves, and we said, oh, help us. Help us out of here. The teenage boy screamed and screamed, and he ran and jumped in his truck and left the old lady up there.
I love that story. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue.